Concession number 25935.
Mr. Hall, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time at HMS St. Vincent at Gosport,
yeah,
between May 38 onwards.
Yeah.
I think another thing to move on to is the swimming and the swimming test.
Yes.
I don't know whether you could swim or not, but can you tell us about that?
Well, we all have to swim, I suppose. Well, that was the thing we had to do. Now, I was never a swimmer. Before I joined the Navy, I always remember that my sisters and my brother and all their friends used to swim out from Freshwater Bay, and they always used to go, I don't know what I would think, miles out to sea. And I used to be right scared. Water scared, for some reason, swimming scared me to death. I don't know why. Now, I'm joined the Navy and I can't swim. Well, at least I don't think I can anyway. I don't like it. I don't like swimming. So we have to pass a swimming test. We have to do a swimming test. We have to swim, I think it's 2 lengths of a bath, which was, I don't know, 25 yards then, I think. And float around for 5 minutes, or 3 minutes rather, sorry. Float around for 3 minutes. This was the test. And it was in a duck suit, which was going to get wet and heavy. And we had to float around. Well, I wouldn't get into the water anyway. But the PTIs were very, as far as I can remember, if I remember, with my memory serves me right, when I first went down to the baths, I just wouldn't get in the water. I just wouldn't get in. But we have to get in. So you're actually almost practically thrown in. You really were then. I mean, it was sink or swim. It really was. And I remember the PTIs used to have a long pole, and if you got anywhere near the edge to grab hold of anything, they'd sort of slide you out into the middle again. Anyway, I used to have to do, because I couldn't swim very well, I had to go to lessons, and eventually I did swim. I did pass the test, but just. I mean, I did enough to pass the test. I wouldn't have done another yard. Was just that I had to do, and I did it. Mainly because I suppose at that time I probably would have been thrown out, I suppose. I don't think if you couldn't swim, then you didn't go to sea. So I did it anyway. And that was my swimming bit. And I don't think I went swimming after that.
So you never got any better?
Never got any better. I still can't now.
Now, any other training you got
during
the day, you know? I'm thinking of the early part, you know.
Yes, I know. The training. I think there was seamanship, gunnery, which entailed all the rifle drill. We had lessons. I think we had lessons on the drug things as well. We used to have that because of going abroad, like on drug sessions and drug sessions and prostitution and whatever, because you're going now to they're teaching you about foreign stations, because at that time we had an awful lot of foreign stations. I mean, there was the China station, the Far East, the Middle East, the West Indies, the Home Fleet. We had an awful lot of places to go to, and we were going to go to these places. We were getting trained for these places to go out there for 2.5 years at least.
These lectures. What about, let's look at some other aspects of the day. What about the food? How did you take to
food.
The Navy food?
I took very well to the Navy food at that time. As far as I can remember, the food was very good.
So what might you get for breakfast, dinner, tea? I mean, you know, generally. I mean,
I can't remember the food at all.
Did you got enough, though?
I got enough. Oh, yeah, they fed us well. And we had 3 meals a day. We had sort of breakfast, lunch, and an evening meal. And then we used to have supper. I remember we used to have to go and get supper, which was just coffee or cocoa and biscuits or something we used to have. I can't remember the type of food we had.
What would you do in the evenings? You know, or early evening?
If we weren't going ashore or we weren't allowed ashore... those that were under punishment went to their punishments in the evenings. Mainly we sort of cleaned our kit, got ready for the next day, got all our kit ready for the next day, because it all had to be cleaned and pressed.
How fussy were they? I mean, you know where they are.
They were very, very fussy. There was a hell of a lot of bull. I mean, you're talking peacetime now, and you're talking Navy. And there were a lot. The haircuts, we had first thing we had going back, when I first went in, we went to the barber's shop, and I remember him was saying, we sat in the barber's chair, and him saying, and how would you like your hair cut, Sonny? And it was just from the back to the front, off, nothing.
How long left?
Quarter of an inch.
So what they'd almost call a skinhead.
Yeah, skinhead, yeah. And that's how we wore it until we left
and
the boys.
How had you got it before that? I mean, how long was
almost
it?
Almost like the one I'm now.
So an inch or two, short back and size.
Yeah, it was a short back and size.
But this wasn't
this was a get rid of. I think mainly, if I remember correctly, it was probably for health reasons.
Did you mind? Can wash.
I did. I think I didn't like it very much, losing my hair. I don't think. But I thought, well, it was a necessity because I was in the Navy. And I think we were more adaptable to discipline then than we probably are now as youngsters. I remember that. I remember
now,
that
what about preparing your kit? How would you prepare your kit? I mean, how much of a polish would you have to get on your boots? And
We used to polish our boots, I think, twice a day. And it was spit and polish.
Tell me, because they don't do that now, do they?
I just still do it with these.
Tell me how you do it.
You're polishing your tin with a rag, spit in it, rub it round, because the spit is greasy, as you know, and then you just go round.
In little circles,
all the way round. Little bit of spit on there again, and keep on until you've rubbed all the thing in and it starts to shine, and then you buff it with a cloth. And that's what you do every day, twice a day. And it used to take me, with boots, it used to take me about half an hour, three quarters an hour to do each one, I suppose, each boot. And that was in the evening time.
So what about the rest of your kit?
The rest of the kit had to be ironed, washed. The creases had to be right. Remember, in those days, our uniform had seven creases around the bell bottoms. There were seven steps. Which was supposed to be for the seven seas, I think, but there was never anything really about it. It was just that they were all that far apart. Up the trouser leg, up to about here. So that when you took them off, you turned them inside out and you folded them up in that sort of way. And to keep them pressed, we used to lay them under our mattress and lay on them all night if we didn't want to iron them, just lay on them. The collars had to be pressed with three. The silks had to be pressed and done right. Yeah, the silk thing we had round. When we used to dress, we used to the where the bow was with the tape hanging down, the silk at the bottom had to be exactly three fingers, and they used to come along with their three fingers as well and put it against. Everything was meticulous. It really was.
Now, did you mind that? We
call it ball now, but we just called it. I don't know. It was the way we could look after our clothes. Don't remember, our clothes were going to go with us wherever we went, and they all had to be ready to wear. Later on, I used to have to wear about three changes a day on different uniforms. But that's what taught me how to look after my kit.
And then there'd be inspections.
There were kit inspections. We used to have kit inspections once a week. A small one by the petty officer of our class, and then once a month it was a big inspection.
What was the big one like?
A little bit worse than the little one, really. Although I don't know, it's probably easier because the officers that came probably weren't as fussy as the POs and chiefs. They were probably more to, because they'd got us to the position where we knew that everything was correct anyway, because nothing was out of place.
Now, how are you getting on with the other recruits? Yeah, I mean, you were 15, they were all presumably 15.
They were all 15, yeah.
Were they all the same type of lad from the same sort of background? Or what was it like?
They were a whole cross-section, but in my class, there were quite a few from what we call the Arethusa boys.
Now, what are they?
Now, they were kids that were Navy-orientated, I suppose. Their fathers were either chiefs, or servicemen that they'd gone into Arethusa. I think Arethusa was in London somewhere on the Thames, and they were what they called. They went into this boys' service at the age of about 13, I think. So they were sort of schooled in Navy routine before they actually came.
So they were
they used to think they were. That was their situation. I mean, they started to be a bit bullyish, I think, as I remember. If you had those in the class, they were the ones that invariably went to the senior boys and were in charge of they put them in charge of the room you were in.
And was there any bullying?
There was a bit.
What form did it take? There's many different forms of bullying, you know that.
Well, most of the bullying was verbal, because if it was fights, then if you had an argument with a boy and you wanted a fight, then they put you in a ring. You went and actually boxed. And if you couldn't box and you got thumped a little bit, then either the chief or the PTI that was in charge would either stop it when you'd had enough. But that's the way they used to handle the bullying in the brutal sense, in the fighting sense. If you wanted a fight, in the ring.
Did you ever get involved?
No, I was too cowardly.
Were you bullied at all, verbally?
I can't remember being bullied.
Who would be bullied?
The weakest of them, I think. The younger, more, what we say, effeminate side of them.
And
the ones that were picked on, the mother's boys, the ones that were always crying, and there were quite a lot of crying. Well, I remember young boys really, really homesick and crying at night, sometimes crying all night long in their beds.
And they got bullied?
They really got bullied.
By the Arethusa boys?
Not necessarily by them, but anybody that was bigger and didn't like it very much, who thought they could get away with it, possibly.
Now, were you homesick? I mean, you'd lost your dad.
Well, that was a few. I mean, that was when I was five, so I don't remember him very much.
But were you homesick? Did you miss your mum?
I think I missed my mum a little bit, although I wasn't all that homesick. I never have been homesick, I don't think. So I think I was a boy that was ready for this. Whether it was because of the 5 years I'd had with my father in the army, watching him or learning or something rubbing off from him, him being a sergeant major, I don't know.
So you just missed your mum a bit.
I missed my mum a little bit. I wouldn't call it sickness. No, I don't think I'd call it homesickness.
Now, how did you get on with the instructors, the petty officers, the leading, the various instructors?
They used to have leading seamen as instructors in certain things, on chiefs, mostly chiefs. And most of the chiefs were sort of long service chiefs, which had done, some of them had done nearly the 22 years and nearly finishing with the Navy. So they were actually doing their last few years as boys instructors.
And what were they like?
Some of them, I can remember two or three of them. And I remember a little chief. And he'd served most of his time in the China station. Now, he was very, I used to love him because of the tales he used to tell about Wei Ai Wei and up the Yangtze and all the places in China that you shouldn't go.
Now, were there salacious tales, women and things like that?
There were no women. There were no women.
Was it just?
It was all men.
No, well, I mean, were the tales of?
Oh, there were tales of brothels and things. Oh, yes, there were that. There were that. Where you shouldn't go and what you didn't do and what you should do. Oh, there was all that in. There was all the old sailors' tales. That's where I learned most of them from, I think. I used to lap those up.
So
he was very good, but he was not brutal, but he was very stern, very strict. Being a little fella, I think he was very strict. I can picture him now when we were in the cutter and he used to take us for seamanship. And we had in the stern of the cutter was a little what they called the dicky seat, which was in between the stern and the gunwale, and there used to be two little seats. Well, he was that small; they used to have to sit on that seat to look down at us, like being in a galleon. I always think of it as being, rowing in this can, and he'd sit on this, and he was the one with the whip, and he used to scream and shout something horrible, and we used to cower in fear of him. And yet he wasn't a fearsome man, really. He was one of those nice men that knew how to treat kids, I think. But I never saw any instructors bully a kid.
So they were fair?
They were fair, very fair. They were good instructors. The ones I had were good.
And they knew the stuff, obviously.
And they all knew the stuff. Well, they wouldn't have been there if they hadn't.
So what about the officers? Did you see much of the officers?
Not a lot, no. most of our time was spent with POs and chiefs. The only time we saw officers were at divisions. They used to walk around the classrooms sometimes and fire a few questions and see where we were going on. But the Padre was I suppose the Padre was our direct thing with the officers.
What did he?
He used to take us for spiritual things, the church, and he was there for anybody that had any problems. Really, it would him you would be go to rather than anybody else.
Were you religious, lads, or were you religious?
I wasn't religious. No, I have been in classes with them. I mean, we had religious classes as well, to a certain extent, but mostly about social, the way we act abroad and what we do in certain circumstances, which we were trying to instill into us.
Now, what about getting ashore? I mean, you were a bit young to be allowed out. Were you allowed
out into Gosport, but we used to have to be back, as I remember, about 8 o'clock. I remember we could go to the pitches. We had to wear a uniform, of course.
Were you inspected before you went
out?
Oh, yes.
You were inspected before you went out. And if you weren't up to scratch, you went back. And either you had to do whatever you had to do necessary and perhaps catch the next boat, what we call the next boat or the next ones that were going ashore, because we used to go ashore either at 4:30, 5:30, and about 6 o'clock, I think, so that you could get ready, those that didn't want to go out or for a long time or just for a walk ashore. But we used to go to the pictures and the fairs in Gosport. No, we didn't go any further because we had the time anyway. No, not then.
You would try and get to pubs. You'd be too young.
Young to pubs. No, there'd be shore patrols anyway. I never tried. I can't remember anybody that did. But I don't think drinking came into it very much then.
Well, you'd be well under age. 3 years under.
Well, yeah. I don't think we. I mean, I don't think pubs were any were even in my vocabulary at that time.
So just the pictures.
The pictures and a walk, or the fun fair or whatever, if it was one on, but that was usually it. We'd only probably go for about an hour anyway and come back aboard.
Any problems with the local lads? You know, sometimes local lads could take against the Navy, you know.
Not that I remember. I suppose there were a few. I mean, I was there for a year, so there must have been some upheavals ashore. But if they were, the police would have us, or the patrols would get them back aboard, and then they'd go before the captain. They used to have captain's mast every now and again.
Well,
the boys that were in trouble.
Discipline. Did you get in much trouble?
Strangely, I didn't. I don't know why, but I never did. I don't think I was ever in any trouble in that sense. I kept pretty much out of trouble.
I don't know.
I think it must have been deliberate. I didn't like being in trouble. I don't think I wanted to go. I don't think I wanted to appear before the captain and take my hat off. You know, he did on this day, do this, that and the other. I don't think I wanted that. I don't think I was that type that
wanted
that.
Did you get any
of
the minor punishments?
Oh, I've had a bit of jankers running around the playground with a rifle over my head, you know, this business.
Now, what would that be for?
That would be for either not paying much attention in a class. It would be whatever happened in a class, usually. Or I'd be talking to somebody in the class and it was not paying attention or those sort of minor things rather than discipline. They were disciplined to a sense. I didn't smoke and I don't remember anybody that did smoke. I think there was smoking going on that used to carry on behind out of the way, but if they were caught, they were disciplined very much.
Now, anything happened while you were there? You were there about a year, you say. You got there in May, 38.
Yes, and I left in... Yeah, it was about a year. I think it was either... I think the thing was a year. I think it was about May 19... Just before the war, May of 1939 that I left.
And so nothing particularly happened? It was just a routine?
It was just a routine. As far as I was concerned, it was a routine, disciplined organisation which I really thoroughly loved.
And what about out? Assessment and passing out. What do you remember that? Was there a passing out parade?
There was a passing out parade. There was a parade and we were all given an assessment of how well we'd done and no medals or anything, or no cups to be won, but just that you were, you know, passed as a good seaman. And it was all seamen then. They were all, that was a seaman's. It was all seamen. There were no. You didn't go into anything else until you went there until.
So you passed out as a, now were you an ordinary seaman or a boy seaman?
I was still a boy seaman. I was a boy seaman until I was 18, so I had 3 years boy service.
Now, what did you have any choice at all about where you went? I presume not.
No.
So where were you?
We left the whole of that class left St Vincent, and we went across the water to HMS Victory, which was the which is now HMS Nelson. That was the barracks.
It's not the ship.
It's the barracks. It's the big barracks where you all go. The Portsmouth sailors, anyway, because we were Portsmouth then. You had Portsmouth, Chatham, and Devonport.
Was that your home port? What was it? Can you explain the home port?
The home port.
I think a lot of people don't understand.
The home port. My home port was Portsmouth. Most of the people that come from the south and up as far as London were Portsmouth. The people down on the Devon and Cornwall and that side of the country were Plymouth, and the Chatham, there was a Chatham then, were those that up at that side of the country.
And
the north was sort of split up a little bit, I think, but you had. Your numbers were the number you were given, like mine was PJX1584858228. So the P was Portsmouth, the C was Chatham, and the D was Devonport. So that's the way, and never they would go on ships that had, you never went on another ship that was a Devonport ship. We kept to our own ships.
Now, you went into the barracks. Can you describe the barracks? Because I mean, they were older barracks, were they?
These were older barracks. So they'd been there for years. I think since Nelson's time. I think HMS Victory. That was the old barracks. But mostly it was a training station. It was a training place for men that were joining the Navy then at 18 or over. So it wasn't a boy service; it was a man's service then for them. They still had training to do there, but they were also just a transit camp, where you went until you were getting your next draft, or until the seamen were coming in from foreign, having their leave, and then coming back to barracks and waiting for another ship, or waiting to go somewhere else, or waiting to go on a course for gunnery. Torpedo, whatever courses they want to go on.
Now, what were these old barracks like? Because I can't really picture them. I mean, were they very different from what you'd been in before?
Yes, they were a lot different. They were a lot older. They were all stone and cold, as I remember. They weren't so fussy about the cleanliness as that we had been at in our own, you know, in boys' training. There was a lot to be desired, as I remember, in there. They weren't...
What about... Did you have beds, or were you in the hammocks?
We were in hammocks now, in there. We were in beds in St Vincent, but when we went there, we were in hammocks.
And how did you take to the hammock?
I liked them. I thought they were very comfortable things to get in and out of. I liked me hammock.
Right from the start,
Yeah, I liked me hammock.
What was so good about them? Because, you know...
I don't know. You seemed to be closed in. You swung into your hammock and it sort of closed over you and you couldn't see anybody. You were sort of on your own, out of the way.
Did they give you bedding to go with it?
Oh, yes. You had a mattress and a couple of blankets and a pillow. That was all you had. And that mattress... Well, the mattress didn't go with you, but the mattress cover was yours, and it was yours forever while you were in a hammock anyway, and your blanket was yours, so it was all part of your kit.
And were they overcrowded in the barracks, or were they, No,
I don't think they were overcrowded, because there was so much movement going on anyway. They might be overcrowded in some of them for a period of a week or so while the people were waiting to move from one place to another. That was the only thing there. Well, whilst I was in barracks, I was only in barracks for May, I was only in Barrett's for about 2 months, I think.
So to June.
So June, yeah, I think it was June.
And were you doing anything while you were there? Or were you just waiting, you know?
We were just waiting, but we were waiting actually to go to sea at that stage. But we were given jobs to do. We were given jobs like messengers and going into offices, looking after whatever, really. We were just given, because we're only boys, we were not, this was a man's place. I mean, we had to keep out of the way of most of them. I mean, we were on our own, really. We had to go into divisions in the morning, inspections, but it was a bit more lax than...
It sounds a funny thing, but were they aware of moral welfare of the boys? I mean, you know, this business of keeping you separate from the men, there are some reasons for that. Were you very aware of that at the time?
I wasn't aware of it at the time. It was over my head at the time. I wasn't aware of that sort of thing at the time. I mean, I hadn't had that sort of... I'd never been in that sort of problem. Although, I suppose thinking back now, or when I left, when I became... when I was 18 or older... I did become aware of things that were sort of out of character, I suppose, with some boys that acted a little differently, or some of the men that acted a little differently towards them.
But it was not something.
But it was not something I was aware of, really.
Then.
No, not really. I was young and innocent.